putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
What a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. I'm always amazed at how tangled and intricate this web truly is. Welcome back, folks. This is the American Journal. Third hour is on. My guest is Edward Zoll. You can find him on X at @diedsuddenly_, website diedsuddenly.info. We're talking now about connections between P. Diddy and Mayor Eric Adams. And no matter how much you study this, there's always going to be like a name that crops up and you go, oh, gee, who's this guy? And you look in, you're like, wait, this guy's behind everything? This guy's got his fingerprint on all of this other stuff I know about? How have I never heard of this guy? A name you mentioned at the very end of the last segment there. Oh, yeah, you can also follow Ed at Real Edward Zoll on X as well, where he does his Bible studies and things. Ron Burkle, Ronald Burkle. Who is this guy? How'd you find out about him? How's he play into all this?
So people were asking about the money behind the scandal. And so I started looking into Kamala Harris's biggest donors. And it's a huge tie into the Tony West story. But maybe even bigger than that scoundrel, with Ron Burkle. Ron Burkle has a deep tie to P. Diddy because he's the man that intervened when P. Diddy was about to go bankrupt in 2004. He put $100 million into P. Diddy's Sean Jeans company, bought a major stake through this, and he kept that man from going under. This is the exact timeline, the exact time frame where the abuse that P. Diddy is now being accused of was at its height. Again, it screams of like, this is basically P. Diddy's Les Wexner. Les Wexner being the billionaire behind Jeffrey Epstein, the man who bought his houses, bought the New York sex mansion and all the different places. And it also, again, in fashion.
Right.
Ron Burkle is also a major donor in the Democrat Party, specifically for Kamala Harris. He is the top donor for Kamala Harris's presidential campaign. He actually began donating to her and supporting her going back to the attorney general, the district attorney races in California, all the way up to her Senate race, and then eventual now her campaign. The other interesting aspect of Ron Burkle is that we should all actually already know his name, because Ron Burkle flew on the Lolita Express with Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Clinton. He was on a trip. He said that after the trip, he found Jeffrey Epstein very creepy. That didn't stop him from jet setting, going to Africa, going on the celebrity tours of Bill Clinton on the sex plane, the place where people were raped. This man, Ron Burkle, is someone I've dived into because he is specifically the money man behind Kamala Harris, the Obamas, Tony West. The last connection I found, Harris, is that when it comes to Ron Burkle, he invests in so much. He specifically invested in Uber. And Uber is where Tony West went to go work after he left the Obama administration. You see, you don't go unemployed when right. You're a Democrat operative, a man that no one knows about until today. Tony West found his job at Uber, and he is the reason you and I talk about DEI. He's the one that started the whole trend of trying to fire white people, basically exclude great working white Americans from the corporate workplaces. He did this at Uber, and then he made it a corporate standard across America.
And I'm telling you, we look into this all the time, and then there like a name crop, and you can think, how did we miss this guy before? And you can just go to his Wikipedia and see all the stuff he's been involved in for literally decades. And I mean, there's got to be, you know, when you've got somebody like P. Diddy going down, you have to know that there is a whole host of people behind him in the shadows, pulling the strings, using him as a tool to, you know, bring people in. And that's one thing, you know, I think people don't understand is there's a reason they use pop stars, or there's a reason Jeffrey Epstein pretended to be really into science so he could go and talk to, you know, these high profile scientists, because they're spies and they have to have a cover and they have to have a reason why other, you know, powerful people want to associate with them. So P. Diddy would be a very useful tool and would have gone bankrupt if not for this guy, Ronald Burkle. Amazing stuff. It's just incredible what you can come up with when you actually start digging into this stuff. Edward Zoll, keep up the great work. Follow Ed at Died Suddenly, the website diedsuddenly.info, on X at @diedsuddenly_, and at Real Edward Zoll. Thanks so much for joining us today, Ed.
God bless you and the whole Enforce crew.
God bless you as well. And you also go to diedsuddenlynews.substack.com. Lots of ways to find this information, folks. But really, we need you doing your own research as well, because we can't handle all this ourselves.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation, and also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work for somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the alexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. If you want to take your calls this hour, I'll go ahead and open up the phone lines now. The number to dial, 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. We have the announcement of the indictment about Mayor Adams. I want to go through this shortly. I do want to give you some updates as to what's going on in the Middle East between Hezbollah and Israel, as I don't think people understand how different this conflict is going to be. Maybe we will get into this now. I just suffice it to say, it's a very different ball game than Gaza. Gaza, you've got Hamas as their official government, but it's deemed a terrorist organization, supposedly untrustworthy. Like, you've got announcements yesterday from the Lebanese health ministry that of the 500 plus people who died, practically all, if not all of them, were civilians, not Hezbollah fighters, civilians, innocent civilians, unassociated with any resistance group or military whatsoever. And they're going to try to discredit that. Now, it was easy for them to cast shade or cast doubt or discredit the numbers coming out of Gaza because it was Hamas counting them. Hezbollah is not the one providing the numbers in Lebanon. It's the Lebanese health ministry. They might not have a fully functional first world level government, but they have a government. They have a sovereign government that's not Hezbollah, that's separate from Hezbollah. And they're saying now Lebanon as a nation is going to declare war on Israel, not just Hezbollah, this militia group. So it's a very different ball game that they're playing here. And I don't know if the Israeli tactics have really, or strategies really, taken that into account. You also have a not homogenous population in Lebanon, but the people being targeted are from every religious group. People dying, Christians and Shia and Sunni. And so they're pissing everybody off in Lebanon, and people that aren't associated with it. And like, I was talking to Lebanon John yesterday, and you know, he was just going, look, you got all these people in Gaza. You can sort of keep them running from place to place. They've killed just God knows how many. But you're talking about a nation in Lebanon. You're talking about 5 million plus population. How many of them do you have to kill before the whole nation surrenders? A million? They have to kill a million people? They've been at it for a week. They've gotten 500. That's a pretty long way to go. The strategy of just leveling the whole place like they're doing in Gaza, it's not going to work in Lebanon, but that seems to be what they're trying to do. We'll get into that. We will get into that. I want to hit this indictment first since it just came out. Before we do that, I want to go to a video because it ties into everything that we were talking about with Ed Zoll. It's an FBI whistleblower urging Americans to, quote, vote, arm themselves, and stock up on 3 to 4 months of food and water, and to pray. And again, this is coming at the same time as Russia is announcing they will use nuclear weapons if a nuclear-armed power gets involved directly against them or if, you know, people start hitting Moscow, we'll show you that announcement at the same time that obviously the war is heating up in the Middle East, at the same time that they're trying to frame Iran for assassination attempts against Trump. It's like we don't know exactly what's going to happen. But combine this with the fact that they're going to try to steal the election. They're already setting up the narrative for a red, what they call it, red illusion, red mirage. I think that's what they call it, where, yeah, it's going to look like Trump is winning on election day. But then the middle of the night, something's going to happen. And by the morning, it'll be Kamala has won. And you're not supposed to question it. And we're telling you now to prepare you to accept this in the future, even though logically, we should have no idea what's going to happen. They're setting something up. You even have congressmen like Jamie Raskin talking about civil war conditions, talking about, you know, basically, they're going to rig the election. If you question it, you'll be deemed a domestic terrorist. They'll go after you. They expect civil war conditions, which means they're preparing for civil war conditions, which means they're getting ready to wage war in a very real and overt way on us. All of this happening at once, and now you've got this FBI whistleblower telling people to get ammo and food for the next 3 to 4 months, as if we don't have way more than that already. Let's go to this video and see what we can make of it, shall we?
And everybody in the minority party, they're fearing what Donald Trump would do in the next administration while they sit here and they look at the guy who's been persecuted by the FBI. And everybody in the room understands it. Mr. Allen, do you have comments you wish to make? I'll give you about a minute, minute and a half, and then I want to turn the rest of my time to Mr. Jordan.
Yes, sir. I would just say that I consider the hearing today my last act of service as a public servant for the United States of America. And I'll give you my professional opinion. I was an intel professional for our country for many years, and I would give recommendations, and I'd also look at indications and warnings. So I would offer this to the American people as my warning to them. Since this is a warning to the American people, I say, I personally have no confidence that the FBI will rein in its own conduct. I've been persecuted along with Garrett, Steve and Kyle, and countless other whistleblowers. It is my opinion that the Bureau used reprisal and fear to control the workforce. It has been a seemingly effective tactic. I personally believe that there are no current effective checks and balances against them conducting lawless action with any type of correction in a legitimate time frame. I welcome the work of the IG, but I think any type of lawless action, there's no legitimate time frame to rein them back in. Their ability to overclassify information can allow them to stonewall forever. To the American people, you have a duty as a citizen to vote, and I strongly urge you to do so. It's how you participate in the American experience. I know people have doubts about election integrity, but you must vote. It is your claim. Stake your claim and don't forfeit it willingly. Have your voice heard. My other recommendations are in the natural order. First, vote. The second is the Second Amendment. Arm yourself and know how to defend yourself. Make 3 to 4 friends in your neighborhood and promise to come to each other's mutual aid in times of hardship. And during the Great Depression, people stocked up a pantry. So I think that's a good practice, especially in our economic times, and make sure you have 3 to 4 months of food. And as a person of faith, I'd say pray the rosary, go to the First Friday devotions. That's for everybody, all my brothers and sisters of all faiths, and I know I'm Catholic, and read the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and live it every day. And that's all I have to say. Thank you for the time.
You know, Mr. Allen, the fact that there are servants like you who have borne up under persecution that a lot of political leaders in this country do not care about is the thing that heartens the American people. And I'm confident the American people will resolve the situation.
It's like we've been saying for months and months, there is a war going on behind the scenes in Washington, D.C., and you can see it. If you just look for it, it is the unelected, unaccountable, bureaucratic spy state housed within the executive branch, including the DOJ, the FBI, including the CIA, the entire national security apparatus, headed at this point by Avril Haines, person who ran Event 201, person who has her fingers in all of this. And that also includes DHS, obviously, in the invasion headed by Alejandro Mayorkas. They are working to be without oversight. The idea is that you empower these guys. You give them authority. You say, hey, look, you can arrest people. You can kill people if you have a good reason. But there's a trade-off. The trade-off is nothing you do is private. Everything you do is under maximum scrutiny. And if you mess up, you pay a severe price for it. They are trying to get rid of that second half of the agreement. They want all of the power and none of the oversight. The only way we have as Americans of expressing that oversight is through Congress, through the Senate. We can elect the executive leader every 4 years, but largely the people underneath him maintain that is the deep state, the continuity between elected officials of the unelected spy masters, deep state operatives that continually work. So if Congress and the Senate are not given information into what these groups are doing, are denied or rejected when they issue subpoenas to question these people, when these people can lie to Congress, bald-faced, blatant lies, and not be punished for it, then that means Congress has no oversight, which means voters have no oversight, which means voters have no say in the activity or the personnel of the executive branch, meaning we don't live in a democracy or a republic or a constitutional republic. We live in a tyranny, in a bureaucracy, essentially, in rule by bureaucrat, for which we have no say whatsoever. So I agree with him that, like, you have to vote, but you have to make your vote count. And the way you make your vote count is by having congressmen who won't let themselves be blackmailed or steamrolled by the FBI or the CIA and will actually provide oversight and actually, you know, flex their legislative muscle or draw back the purse strings in order to get these people to behave constitutionally. So there you go, an FBI whistleblower telling you to stock up on food for 3 to 4 months, get 3 to 4 friends in your neighborhood to mutually protect each other. And I think the most valuable thing you could do at this moment is to create a neighborhood watch, just create a group of neighbors that you patrol the neighborhood and you have a catalog or at least in your mind, a reference of who has what skills, who can do what, who can be where, who has what first aid material or weaponry or storable food, so that in a major event, a black swan event that very much seems to be coming and will likely coincide with the shutdown of InfoWars and the election, which both are slated to happen in the same week. Yeah, it might get really bad. So if you're looking for something valuable to do in the next month or so, might I suggest creating a neighborhood watch group with people on your block, you know, just in case. Now, this is the story that just dropped minutes ago from the New York Post. We'll go to your calls in just a moment. But this is about the indictment of Mayor Adams. Historic federal indictment against Mayor Adams claims he took free luxury travel, ritzy perks, and donation scheme. Just right off the bat, like before even getting into it, you can already sort of see how things work and how the machine operates. Well, I'll read a little bit more, but just think about the billions of dollars poured into something like the Clinton Global Initiative that was receiving boatloads of cash until she lost the election and suddenly that dried up. Part of the Illuminati, part of the deep state, part of the elite, whatever you want to call them, I'm calling them the enemy. Part of what the enemy does is not just like blackmail people, get people to have sex with children on camera so you can hold it over them later, or have the, you know, like a gang has you kill somebody. So they're like, hey, if you ever mess with us, you know, you can go down for that. We have that on you and we can destroy you with this. We'll keep this in our back pocket. That's one way they do it. Another way that they might do it is, well, everybody takes trips. Everybody accepts gifts one way or another when they're in office or running for office. Everybody does. So if you're on our side, those things will get overlooked. They won't get charged. Case of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump is another perfect example. Hillary Clinton uses campaign money to fund the Steele dossier, totally illegal, but very similar to what Donald Trump is now facing 34 counts and is a convicted felon over. And when it came time to punish Hillary Clinton for this, she wasn't punished. She wasn't even blamed. The DNC paid a $100,000 fine and it was over. It was washed away. If they'd wanted to, if instead they wanted to destroy Hillary Clinton, then they could have charged her with 34 felony counts and sent her to prison for a long time. So it's like everybody does something kind of illegal, technically illegal, maybe on the verge of legal and not legal. And if everybody's like that, then the people in power in charge of enforcing the laws, if they're just picking and choosing, all right, we're going to ignore all of these people's crimes, but just go after this guy's crimes. That's another lever that they can wield to manipulate people. So like that's just, you know, you talk about free luxury travel, ritzy perks in donation scheme. It's like every politician travels on other people's dimes. Again, Hillary Clinton was getting billions of dollars from Saudi Arabia poured into her own coffers just because there was one degree of separation in that it was a nonprofit that helped Haiti, right? Just want you to know, that's my first take, not even halfway through this first line. But here's what the article says. Mayor Eric Adams has been indicted on charges he allegedly took illegal campaign contributions and bribes, including free flights and ritzy perks from foreign nationals in exchange for favors, according to a bombshell federal indictment unsealed by Manhattan prosecutors Thursday. The five-count indictment, the first against a sitting New York City mayor, details an alleged decade-long pattern of corruption by Adams after he was indicted by a grand jury as part of a long-running federal probe that's ensnared a number of his closest allies and aides. In 2014, Eric Adams, the defendant, became Brooklyn Borough President. Thereafter, for nearly a decade, Adams sought and accepted improper valuable benefits such as luxury international travel, including from wealthy foreign business people and at least one Turkish government official seeking to gain influence over him. The indictment charges. Didn't we just hear in the interview between Thomas Massie and Tucker Carlson the fact that every single Republican in Congress has taken an all-expense-paid trip to Israel, paid for by the Israeli government, paid for by AIPAC, who they all have an individual AIPAC handler who coordinates between the nation of Israel and their... So, you know, again, it's like this is the usefulness of, you know, improper application of law to bring about tyranny. If the law was just an algorithm that just like a robot unthinkingly did whatever it was told to do and just somebody takes a legal bribe, they get punished. And that's that. That'd be one thing. But what we have now is some people are just allowed to do it and other people aren't. Some countries are just allowed to take our politicians on lavish vacations and other ones aren't. There's no legal basis for this. They just choose not to enforce one and enforce the other. Prior to the indictment coming down, sources had revealed the charges were likely connected to allegations the Turkish government had illegally funneled money into Adams's mayoral campaign in exchange for approval of the Turkish consulate in Manhattan. Eric Adams, a defendant, sought and accepted illegal campaign contributions in the form of nominee or straw contributions, meaning that the true contributors conveyed their money through nominal donors who falsely certified they were contributing their own money, the indictment stated. Not to pick on Israel, but this is also what happened with the lobby. We've shown you the clips on this show before, where they bring together politicians and a bunch of wealthy Jewish donors in somewhere like New York. And they just give them a stack of credit cards and just go, you can spend $2,000 on each one of these cards. And it's illegal to donate more than $2,000. So in the records and under taxes and under disclosure, it looks like you out of a bunch of people give $2,000. But really, it's just one organization funneling that money through. Or what about the ActBlue donations that James O'Keefe and others have been investigating? that shows that some 60-year-old woman on a fixed income donated 10,000 times to Act Blue, donated, you know, $30 every hour for a year. And they go and knock on her door and she's like, I've never donated once. I've never even heard of Act Blue. And yet it's her address and her name and her number that is listed as the donator. So again, it's like, is this stuff bad and corrupt? Probably. Yeah. Yeah. It's probably should something be done about it. Yes. Are they doing it now because it's bad and because it's illegal and because it's wrong? Because they don't want people doing it? No. If that was the case, everybody in Congress would be arrested. Everybody in Congress knows this is going on and allows it to go on and participates in this scam. So why are they going after Eric Adams now? You know, I don't even like Eric Adams. Screw that guy. Like, he sucks. But I do like justice. But I do like living in a country governed by laws and not the whims of psychopaths. They say by smuggling their contributions through straw donors, Adams' overseas contributors defeated local federal laws that served to prevent foreign influence on U.S. elections. It wasn't immediately clear when Adams would have to appear in court in the wake of the indictment. Sources had earlier said the Post told the Post that he wasn't expected to turn himself in until early next week. The court filing dropped shortly before U.S. Attorney Southern District of New York Damian Williams is slated to hold an 11:30 a.m. news conference to announce significant public corruption charges. Meanwhile, nearly a dozen FBI agents were spotted swarming Adams' mayoral home, Gracie Mansion. Interesting. Interesting. So he claims he's being targeted for criticizing the Biden-Harris administration over its handling of the migrant crisis that's wrecked the Big Apple, saying, I always knew if I stood my ground for all of you, I'd be a target, and a target I became. But again, what he's done about the migrant crisis is to invite in all the migrants, declare themselves a sanctuary city, pay for five-star hotels for them to stay in, and then beg the federal government for money. It's not exactly criticizing. He's just like, give us more money. He's like, we're doing the thing you want us to do. You pay for it. I don't think that's, I think they're going to go after him over that. I think that's a distraction. Honestly, I don't really know what to make of this right now. Greco, a top Adams aide, had her Bronx home raided by FBI agents in February, though it wasn't clear at the time it was tied to the Turkey probe. Okay, so the accusation is that the Turkish government funneled money through basically puppets to bribe Mayor Eric Adams so he would approve a Turkish consulate in Manhattan? Yeah, I'm not buying it. I'm really not buying it. There's so many things wrong with this story. This sounds like the most flimsy excuse to go after the mayor of New York. What? Maybe there's more to it that I'm missing, but I'm definitely missing something here. Something is missing from this story. I don't know what it is exactly, but like, why wouldn't they approve a Turkish consulate in Manhattan? Why would one mayoral candidate want to do that and another one not want to do that? This doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make any sense. It doesn't pass the smell test. What it sounds like is parallel construction. What it sounds like is they wanted to go after something and they came up with this.
I've been on air for 30 plus years. I started InfoWars 28 years ago. We've been in this building almost 16 years. And in the last 6 years, we've had the feds, the FBI, the CIA, it's all come out in court, run giant demonization operations against myself, my operation, and my crew.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
Lawfare, rigged courts, judges finding me guilty, then holding show trials. All an attempt to not just shut us down, but to demonize the idea of an American populist movement of information and peaceful resistance to their globalist agenda 21 and global agenda 2030. Literal world government, total censorship, Internet of Things, carbon taxes, social credit score, forced injections, a dystopia. WF says officially, the future is not human. No humans by 2047 will all be cyborgs. You'll own nothing. You'll like it. You'll eat the bugs. This is hell on earth. We are promoting freedom and liberty and transparency and security and God and country. So, many of you have seen the news everywhere. InfoWars is shut down to be sold November 13th at auction. It's over. It's shut down. No, ladies and gentlemen, I've personally liquidated my assets. I own InfoWars. And so the feds, the Justice Department, can get involved in bankruptcies. They did. They came in, tried to find dirt on me, had private groups come in, accounting firms, made us pay for it, found that I told the truth about everything. So then they told the judge last week, we don't want it to go up for sale. We want it just shut down. We want it closed. And the Sandy Hook Democrat Party, you always hear the families, it's not families, it's the Democratic Party and the FBI on record. They said, we don't want money. We don't want a settlement. We want him shut down. They've said it in the news. They've said it at the courthouse. It's crazy. So now I see the headline, InfoWars be liquidated, pay the families. They're 1.5 million or whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the deep state. It is the system. It is the lawfare. It's out in the open. So just to be clear, the U.S. trustee that the judge fired a few months ago tried to shut us down outside of court order. The judge stopped that. Then a state court tried to liquidate us a few months ago and close the doors and padlock it. The same judge that ran the kangaroo court against me in the Sandy Hook trial here in Texas. The judge overrode that. And they basically said the only way now is for you to liquidate your assets, Chapter 7, and sell it to somebody else. So if Patriots buy it, there's a lot of folks saying they are, and that they're the top bidder, then if I like the folks and they don't curtail my free speech, I will work for somebody else. That's how you do it when you have giant judgments anyways. So there's a good chance good people are going to buy it if the auction's open, free, and fair on November 13th. But regardless, I'm going to continue on the air one way or another, unless the globalists start World War III and trigger the internet kill switch and bring in their total censorship, which Hillary Clinton's calling for arresting Trump supporters for their, quote, speech. So the fact they're coming after me means they're coming after you. Trump always says that. They're not coming after me. They've got to get through me to get to you. That's totally true. So in closing, support InfoWars. You'll get your products. Things are in stock. It'll be months till we get shut down. If we do get shut down, that supports the operation. That's great. But also supporting the outside sponsors that are sponsors of InfoWars, but will hopefully go forward one way or another with a new operation or with InfoWars is so critical. And through the sponsors, I'm able to get some support. I'm out of money. I've got to continue to pay for these legal battles, or they'll try to even take over my name and my social media. So I need support. Plus, you need to get our great products. Go to our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. 50 plus amazing Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, you name it. Thealexjonesstore.com. Go to our sponsor, drjonesnaturals.com. Because regardless of what happens to InfoWars going forward, Dr. Jones Naturals is there and the Alex Jones Store is there. So if you want to support your great products, take action now. It's do or die. I'm in your hands. I'm asking for your support. Plus, these are great products. Thealexjonesstore.com, drjonesnaturals.com. Please help us. Thanks for keeping us on air. God bless.
Censorship barrier, one truth at a time. You're listening to The American Journal.
All right, welcome back, folks. We'll go out to your calls now on this episode of American Journal. So much other stuff to talk about. We'll use calls as a guiding light of where we head in this final segment. Let's go to Craig in Ohio. I want to talk about the financial markets. I hear they're going great, Craig. I hear everything is wonderful, according to the numbers.
Yeah, good laughing? Morning, Harrison. How are you?
Good morning. Good.
Yeah, so we talked a while back, and I don't know if you remember, but I'm the hedge fund guy from Central Iowa, as I called myself. And yep. So I just wanted to confirm some of the things you were talking about. The NASDAQ, which has pretty much been driven by the Magnificent Seven. I don't know if you've been covering those, but those are the big tech stocks. And that's what's driven this market up a lot. Well, we're seeing huge volatility intraday in there. And I've traded these markets for 30 years, and I've never seen anything like it. It's very unnerving. So it fits with what you're talking about today with, you know, things being set up. And so there's my perception or my belief on this is that there's somebody that's huge, that has massive amounts of resources and money that's just driving these markets up and down, up and down. And the reason they do that, Harrison, and to the audience, is that they like to do what's called distribution. This has been going on, you know, since the days of, you know, before the 1929 stock market crash, where they get operators, right, stock market operators, they call them, that can, that actually will distribute these positions for the big players, right, the big money. And okay. So that seems to be what we're feeling here. And the markets are incredibly volatile, right, incredibly volatile intraday. So it's confirming what you're saying is what I'm trying to say.
So what you're saying is that the markets seem to be showing signs that something big is coming.
Exactly. And so we saw this before, you know, we saw this before the COVID crisis, right? There was a repo crisis that occurred in the summer, right? The same time that, you know, the event 201 was going on, right around that August window of time. So very, very similar situation. We saw the same thing happen before, you know, the real estate crisis happened in 2008. We saw similar things happen before the towers came down with the NASDAQ bubble popping. So I've been around for a while. Also the Asian currency crisis, long-term capital management in the late 90s. So we've seen this pattern over and over and over again. So this isn't like a one-off, right? This is stuff that we've seen happen before. And, you know, I've been around to trade all those markets, so I've seen this stuff go on. And so, you know, it's funny, you know, I just feel like this needs to get out there. So, you know, I started doing a show on LFA TV every morning and just to get the word out to people, that's all, you know what I mean? And so we cover on there the dollar and, you know, what's really going on with the dollar, because all these markets can give us a clue of what's going on. And it's stuff that's going on under the surface that people just don't see, you know? And so what I'm trying to do is confirm the things that you're doing, you know, with my area of expertise, which is the markets, and trying to get it out to people and, you know, try to help them prepare for this. One, just mentally, right, for what's probably coming here. And two, financially, right, because we've handed over our 401ks to the bad guys, right? Yeah. You know, we work our whole lives, put all our money in our 401ks, and we give them to a fund that we think is, you know, innocent, but they're subbing the money out to BlackRock, or they're giving it to Blackstone, or they're giving it to, you know, or it's sitting in Vanguard, or it's sitting at State Street, and all these different places where these guys have the money to control and run their pet projects that actually come back and bite us in the rear end. And, you know, so we're using our own money to bite ourselves in the rear end, basically.
Right. No, we're funding our own destruction. You're exactly right. How much do you think the volatility has to do with the looming shutdown of the ports if there's no agreement with the Longshoremen Union? You know, we're hearing rumors that basically worldwide shipping is going to grind to a halt for a couple days. And it's, you know, if that happens even for one day, it's going to be a week to get back up to speed. 2 days, it's 2 weeks. It's like exponential. How much do you think that is weighing on the market right now?
Well, I think it all contributes, Harrison, but here's the thing, is that the S&P has made 41 record highs this year, okay? So the S&P's 500 stocks, so it's big and it's broad, and it just made a record high yesterday again, and the day before that, you know, and then the Dow looks fairly solid still, too. So the Dow is 30 of the biggest stocks, so these markets aren't really indicating anything. It's the NASDAQ that's really indicating things. And remember, that's where NVIDIA's at, right? One of the largest market cap stocks, Apple, you know, Microsoft, Meta, Google, Tesla, you know, all the big ones, right, where all this money's been sitting. So I'm looking at different markets tell you different things, and the constitution of how they're made up tells you different things. And so what I'm looking for is two things, right? NASDAQ, number one, and the German DAX, number two. We're seeing huge weakness in Europe, right? Germany's falling apart, right? You probably covered some of the stories with Volkswagen, and, you know, their economy's falling to shreds, and they have a tight connection to China, too. And that's one other thing I want to mention, too, is China, right? They're throwing money at this like crazy, Harrison. They came out on Monday, and they threw the kitchen sink at the market because their market's down 40% since 2021. And then they came back last night, and they just said, we're going to hand out free cash, right? We're going to come in and stimulate the housing market, right, to get people to buy houses. So it's like pushing on a string, right? Mm-hmm. If people resist it, you can push all you want, but you're just pushing on a string. And so I'm watching China. I'm watching Germany, right? The German DAX is at all-time highs. It makes absolutely no sense, as weak as their economy is. And then we're watching the NASDAQ, right? And these other markets matter. So yeah, all these things matter, Harrison. The ports and all that stuff all contribute. But there's something bigger going on under the surface here. I think it's bigger than the ports. It's going to contribute all of it. And maybe that's part of it, right?
Well, and the other speculation about the ports was that the union negotiations was just cover people think that the military is going to take over the ports, and it's all a prelude to full-fledged World War III as they militarize the supply chains. Yeah. Yeah. Craig, I could talk to you forever. I want to get to some other callers. Tell us how people can listen to your show.
Yeah, so I'm on Rumble. It's just World HD. So World Space HD. It's on every morning at 8 to 9 a.m. East Coast time. And we go through all this stuff every morning now. So I, you know, thanks to you guys for, you know, all you do. And we're just all trying to pick up little torches here and carry them ourselves. So thank you. Thank
lighting the brush fires of liberty around the country. Thank you so much, Craig. It is fascinating stuff. And the market is one of those things that I find baffling and opaque. But then when somebody can really explain it, you realize how important it can be as a, if nothing else, you know, a metric for reading the temperature of the nation. So troubling things going on under the surface doesn't surprise me, but really just worries me a little bit more. Thank you for the call, Craig. Let's go to Laura in San Diego now on line number 8, because Laura, you say you recently found InfoWars, which I always love hearing stories about people who are just waking up. Thanks for calling in, Laura. You're on the air.
Hey, Sam. Hi, yes. So I recently found you guys when all of the Sandy Hook, the case in the Connecticut.
Yep.
When I heard about that on the news, and I had never heard of you guys before until then, and which is kind of ironic because yes, they were trying to shut you guys down.
Very ironic.
Yeah, now I pretty much listen to you guys every morning. It's pretty funny.
That's great.
But anyway, yeah, I'm actually from San Antonio. Was raised as a liberal, voted Democrat until recently.
Right.
For anyone who may be leaning towards the left and for not maybe not so in favor of Trump, I'm telling you, you do not want what California has to offer.
Right.
It is terrible. Every time I pass by the migrant hotels, I tell my boyfriend, like, look, there's our tax dollars.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it's just getting worse by the day. I mean, there's an app to submit reports for homeless camps where there's drug addicts and...
Oh, shoot. Dang it. The call dropped. I was enjoying that call. Sorry, Laura, you dropped. But if you can hear me, thank you so much for the call. And I was interested in talking a little bit more because, you know, California is one of these places where there is something special about it. There's no denying it. California is unbelievably beautiful. The weather, the people, the farmland. I mean, it really is something special. And you take this beautiful thing and you just destroy it. You just disassemble it. I mean, I was in San Diego earlier this year, and you know, you can just imagine. You just walk down the street and you go, man, I bet 50 years ago this place was paradise. Like, I bet there's nowhere in the world better than this place before the liberals got a hold of it, before the amnesty, before Ronald Reagan, before the influx, before the socialism, before the gated communities and the homeless camps just outside. I bet this place was heaven on earth. And that is, of course, that's what happens. It's almost more tragic. It's really, I don't know, I don't want to insult any city. I won't use any actual examples, but you know, so you build a city on a swamp and it goes bad. You're like, wow, it was a swamp. You know, someone destroys an ugly painting, nobody cares. But when you've got a masterpiece of geography like California, to see it just gutted and left destroyed is the height of tragedy. So thank you for that call, Laura. And just on that note, just because this has been rattling around in my mind all show, and it is associated with what Laura's talking about, having been a liberal or a Democrat recently, from some bee I know, from Big Dig Energy, posted this, and I just thought this was a fun trip down memory lane for me. L says, I used to call birthers racist until I was blue in the face. Then I saw the archived and timestamped evidence they were citing. My bad. And that's what I've heard other people say. Well, everybody at InfoWars used to be a liberal. And it's like, no, not Not really. Like, I was never a liberal. I was just anti-war. And the Republicans at the time were, they're all Lindsey Graham. They were all insane. So we didn't want to vote for them. And, you know, not falling for the economic or the equality bullcrap that they push, but falling for some of the rhetoric about, because they, you know, they know what to say. They talk about privacy. They talk about security. They talk about ending the wars. And you go, wow, these guys sound great. And then they get elected and they're like, we are replacing all the white men with black women. Screw you, white men. You're like, oh, that's what I was voting for? To quote L, my bad. Oh, my bad. I didn't realize. But I've told the story before, but it is one of my favorites because I'm sure other people have had similar experiences to this. When I was like in high school, maybe it was a year after high school, but we were hanging out with my friend and we were at his brother's place. And I've always been into conspiracies. I've always watched InfoWars or whatever. But like back in my day, nobody was political in high school. Nobody cared about politics in high school. It wasn't a thing, really. And it had just come out that they'd published Barack Obama's birth certificate. And I saw an article on InfoWars that was like, you can download the birth certificate that the government published. You can drag it into Photoshop and you can separate the layers and you can see that this is a fake Photoshopped PDF. And so I did that. I had Photoshop at the time. I mean, this was like 2006, probably something like that. And not everybody had these things on their phones. Not everybody had Photoshop or whatever, but I did because I did work on that type of stuff. So I went to the government website, the .gov domain. I downloaded the PDF they published as proof Obama, you know, was born in Hawaii. I dragged that file into Photoshop, and there they were, different layers. The layer of the you know, typewriter text, and then the layer of the handwriting text. And I remember separating and going, oh my God, this is fake. You can't scan a document and have, especially not back then, have two different layers on one scanned document. That doesn't make any sense. Long story short, I did this and realized it. And I brought it up, and it was like one of the first times that I was like so confused at why everybody was angry at me. Like, everybody got angry at me. I voted for Obama. Everybody knew I voted for, like, but I'm like, oh, guys, y'all want to know something really weird? This birth certificate they published, it's not real. It's Photoshopped, and I can show you. And, like, my friend's brother was like, that's racist, dude. And it was, like, so baffling to me. And there's lots of aspects to this, but, like, how far we've come, how far we've gotten, but also how this mentality's been in place for decades. And I'm sure other people have this feeling or this experience where, like, you're just innocently going, huh, this is really crazy. I bet my friend would like to hear this. Hey, isn't this crazy? And they're just like, no, dude, that's racist. How dare you say that? And you're just like, well, I just thought this was like a weird thing. It's just like a bizarre thing. Something we're arguing about, like, well, no, but if he was a foreign student, then he got a, and that means he has blackmail on him, which means they'd want it, and he must have been associated with the intelligence agency, and like it becomes this big thing. But I wonder now, you know, kids going through this sort of stuff where they find something interesting. They're like, hey, this is interesting. I should show this to my friends, only to have their friends be like, you're not allowed to think that. You're not allowed to believe that. You're lying. And again, it stands out in my mind because it was like the first time I'd ever experienced where I'm having people who have no idea what I'm talking about call me a liar for something that I saw with my own eyes. I'm sitting here going, I downloaded the file. I put it into Photoshop. I separated the layers. And they're going, that's not true, dude. That's a lie. That's conspiracy. And you're sitting there like, what is happening? I just told you about this. I'm the one informing you about this. How are you calling me a liar? You didn't even know this was a thing. All I'm saying is this is an experience that we info warriors have that other people probably have no experience with, and is something that you like can't explain to anybody. How weird it is to tell somebody something that you experienced, something they've never heard of, and for them to turn around to you and say, you're lying, that never happened. What? So, Americans have been far gone for a while. Sorry to ramble, but I like that people can still change their mind. I like that people are still just discovering InfoWars. I love that they're discovering InfoWars because of the publicity for the Sandy Hook thing. That is beautiful. Jeff in Gainesville has called in. Thank you for calling in. Jeff, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hello. How you doing, Harrison?
Good, thank you.
Great show, as usual.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
I hear you well. Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, that Mr. Allen, he was right on. Great defense. We need at least a minimum of a fire team in each neighborhood. Mm. But we got to remember about offensive, too. Okay, just not defensive, because sitting back waiting, you're prone to being taken out easy.
Right.
States are free, independent, sovereign, and have reserve power over the federal government. Okay? We created the federal government and state governments. What's the first three letters or the first three words of the Constitution? We the people.
Right.
And it's giant, giant words. So if we can recall, impeach, and what's the other one?
For I'm not allowed to
all
say
your
it.
Elective officials, if they're not doing their job, which is to secure your constitutional rights, they're acting treasonous and they're breaking the law. They're criminals. What you do is you petition, you go to their offices, don't go to D.C., you go to Congress, Senate, local and federal, and just go there every day. Write them, call them, put in documents. If they don't answer or reply that why they're not securing your constitutional rights, file. Now, it could be done in days, recall and impeachment and dismissal charges against them, you know?
Yeah, you know, there's the saying, squeaky wheel gets the grease. Like, there's a reason
exactly
why all of these leftist groups get what they want. It's because they are aggressive.
Well, they got think tanks.
They've got think tanks. They've got money.
Too.
They've got activists who can dedicate all of their time to, you know, petitioning and lobbying the Congress. But we have to do that. We can't just sit back and expect our just continually failing elected representatives to do anything about this. Go ahead.
One more thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know Texas has two Chinese farms right next to military bases?
I do know that. Yep.
But you do know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why does Abbott allow that? He's the okay. States are a nation of territory considered an organized political community under the government, like Germany, Italy. Your state is an independent government. You can remove or pressure him to serve your constitutional rights.
Yeah,
and none of them
to.
Are.
Look, basically,
the NGOs don't belong
to take
there.
We need to take this as seriously as it deserves. And one thing I'm always sort of frustrated at is you've got people. You know, the example I always point to is you had some activists storm the stage. I think it was during 2020 or 2016. It was during some presidential campaign. But they're like storming the stage on some presidential event. They're having to be tackled by Secret Service. They're like screaming and flailing and making this huge scene. It becomes a national news story. What they were, who they were vegans protesting milk. They're protesting against milk. Okay. It's like milk's the most inoffensive animal product ever. But these people are so worked up about these tiny things. They're so passionate, and that's how they get things done. Look at like the people storming the stage at Trump rallies or, you know, whatever else. And it's like, okay, these people are this fired up. They're risking jail time. They're risking their lives. They're, you know, causing this huge scene over something that in some cases, like climate change, doesn't even exist. Or in other cases is like you're protesting milk. Really? That's what you're so passionate. Like, this is retarded. We're on the other side. We're talking about World War III. We're talking about depopulation. We're talking about total abject tyranny. We're talking about activists being thrown into jail for crimes they didn't commit, were committed by other people states away without the knowledge of the person now sitting in jail for 20 years for it. Like, what we're talking about is so crazy, so insane. And yet the people protesting milk are more fired up, more willing to go get in people's faces, more willing to go get involved, more willing to make a scene, more willing to protest publicly than we are. They're protesting milk. They're protesting cow's milk. Like that. So we need to get active. We need to get involved. We need to make other people care about this stuff because that's what they do and it works and it's successful. The only problem is, as Jeff points out, they've got the think tanks, they've got the money, they've got professional activists who spend all day every day pushing this stuff, and we have jobs to go to in the morning. But if we can't treat this with the seriousness it deserves, and we're being out protested by the anti-milk people, I think there's a reason why nobody listens to us. Thank you for the call, Jeff. I totally agree with everything you're saying. Let's go to Matthew in Virginia. Matthew, thank you for calling in. You're on the air.
Good morning, Harris.
Good morning.
Quick plug, Bodies and X2, combat veteran, 8.5 years, did 2 tours in Afghanistan. I need it. Every day I take it, it keeps me going, man.
Beautiful.
In saying that, it's unfortunate how the globalists, everything that they do is so multifaceted that, you know, our modern minds relying on dopamine, on swipes and likes, just cannot conceive how evil these people truly are and how much they want us dead.
Mm.
Because we're useless eaters. In the sense of Garland, I mean, it's such distraction, you know, all of it, anything locally. I mean, where I'm at in Virginia, it's the board. They don't care. They install people. You know, they're not being voted in, and they do it right under our noses, right in front of our faces, and nobody does anything about it. And like you touched on there at the very end, you know, we have jobs. I'm at work right now, and I'm using my lunch break to talk.
Right.
I called in last week, and I spoke with Chase, and the call didn't quite go as I wanted to. I got a little perverse, but you know, it is what it is, man. I'm passionate about it because I see the country going down without a fight. Nobody's really fighting, and I mean, how long are we going to rely on Schofield and Boomer and just allow the Zionists to continue on with what they're doing? You brought up AIPAC earlier. I mean, I don't trust JD. He took AIPAC money.
Yeah.
You know, Trump's up there beating the drum for
his assassination on Iran. Ahead, it's absurd.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's atrocious is what it is. And they're not speaking for us. Like I said, I told Chase that, yeah, Trump's the last bastion, but what's that worth? I really think he's definitely more politically geared this time.
I totally
last
agree.
Time
we're about to come to the
guard.
End of the show, so I'm sorry to cut you off, but it was great stuff. I'd love to talk to you again. Keep calling in. You'll get used to it and get better and better. Thank you so much for the call, Matthew, and I do want to hear from you again. People are constantly saying, you know, I hope Trump learned his lesson. I hope we learned our lesson. I hope we learned our lesson to not trust Q, not sit back and trust the plan, get Trump elected, and then use that as a beachhead to launch the real assault. This is just the beginning, folks. It's going to get crazy. Stay with us.
Obviously, silver's doing way better than gold in growth, and it's way undervalued. That's a fact. Why then are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver, right? It's like if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, okay, there's not enough silver in the world to do that, right? So they have to do gold because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce. Right, so this is why
they've
central
got so many quadrillions of fake money. There's not there's too much fiat to even buy the silver, which I would say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh, so silver historically, the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all time highs, silver does better than gold. So silver grows faster, and there's a reason why silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But what silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy. The industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
Now, you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back.
networks lie to you about what's happening now. InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.